And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. It's just great being with you today. Just great. You know, last week we had a wonderful program, The Climate Boogeyman with Mike King. And wasn't that fun to tell the truth? Wasn't that fun to shame the crazies out there? That actually believe that man can affect world climate. You know, with these hurricanes going on, Jose, of course, is the latest one, but it seems to be missing. But these terrible ones here in Texas, boy, we caught the tail end of it here in Austin. I was worried about that. But they sure didn't miss it in the Houston-Beaumont area. That's where my sister lives. And where, of course, I lived as a kid. But there, entire towns and cities are flooded with water. I mean, their houses out there, their cars. They say over 500,000 automobiles ruined. And those homes, it's an incredible thing. Of course, in Florida, all those torn up, you know, wow, we must help those people and pray for them. And these are incredible events, but it's good to understand this, that there has not been another major hurricane for 12 years. Remember when we had Hurricane Rita and Hurricane Katrina? They hit New Orleans and so forth. And boy, but that was 12 years ago. Now, the environmentalists said, boy, this is the way, this is the new normal. We're going to have hurricanes 5 or 6 a year like Katrina. Well, I thought they may as well shut the door. New Orleans, turn it. I mean, there's no reason to rebuild it. We're going to have 5 or 6 hurricanes like it every year. At least a couple of them will hit the Louisiana coastline there on the Gulf Coast. And I could have told all my friends here in Texas down going down to Rockport and so forth, those little towns down on the coast or near Houston, Galveston. I could have said, well, don't even be rebuild. Don't do anything there. There's going to be more just like them because of global warming. That's what I was told. That's what we were all told. They said, this is global warming. That's why we're having these hurricanes 12 years ago. And it's going to be like this every year. There's going to be 4, 5, 6, maybe more because the ocean's getting warmer. And when you have warm water on the ocean, it drives. Ooh. And then you have these hurricanes and then tornadoes. And oh my goodness gracious. This is climate change, global warming. Now I must tell you, I never believed it for one flittering second. I laughed. I hee-hawed. I huffy-puffied. I drank a big Coca-Cola with my friends and just, you know, guffawed, laughed at these fools. And you know what? I was proven right. I should not gloat, though. These environmental people, they're nuts. They don't have any sense. They believe this propaganda, and that's the problem with the world. And one of the things we're going to be talking about today is propaganda. Propaganda. Fake news. You know, while Mike was on the radio here with me, I said, Mike, when I was a young man, I read this article in Reader's Digest. It said that it's so getting so dry and hot in Africa that the Sahara Desert up in North Africa, it was growing. It was growing, you know, 5 or 6, 12 feet a year. It was galloping, they said. They use that term, galloping. They said it's going to grow to take over entire countries. And pretty soon there won't be any, they're doing nothing for people. Think of those poor people. Now, right now, a lot of the poverty and everything is because, well, the people and their culture and so forth. But they've got some beautiful land there. I mean, they got giant waterfalls. I don't even know. I've never been to Africa. I don't even know the names of them, but I've seen them on TV. Gigantic waterfalls and the desert, my goodness, no, not desert. That's just a small little piece. They've got jungles in Africa. Big jungles full of trees and everything. That was all going to go, they said, because of, you know, they didn't have the term global warming and climate change back then. That was after these doctors of propaganda created it. But they still told us this is coming. The scientists say this is the way the world changes, and you're going to have Africa and all the people there. They've got to go somewhere. They've got to be refugees, and you're going to have to take them in. Over 200 million Africans. Oh my goodness. When I was a young teenager, I read that in Reader Digest and just made my mind just warp. I was thinking about it all the time. And, you know, I didn't really think about it very much. I went in the Air Force and was busy doing other things. And, about 20 years later, I must have been about 40 years old or so by then. I said, I wonder what's happened to that Sahara Desert. I guess it must have taken over several countries. So I got out my geography books and things. I decided to do some research. I found out that the scientists said, well, all of a sudden it stopped growing and went the other way, and it started turning green. The desert started declining, and green grass started growing, and the rains came, and it changed. Wow, there was not as much desert as there used to be. You know, here in the United States, they said acid rain is going to decimate the forest and the trees. They're all gone, and oh my goodness, and the climate change is going to cause the bugs to bite and the beetles to eat the trees, and oh, there'll be no more forest in America. It's gone. Oh. But I was recently reading an interesting article, and it said, you know what? There are more forests today. Now listen to this, folks. There are more forests, huge forests, in the United States of America today than there were in 1776. See, George Washington and all of them, if they'd have gone to the same places that we go today, they wouldn't have seen these giant forests. I'm sure there'd be forests, but they wouldn't be as big, wouldn't be as extensive. They said there's at least 40 to 50% more trees now than there were 200 years ago. Can you believe it? I thought it was all going. I thought global warming and climate change and all this nonsense was going to knock out all the trees in the United States, but they keep growing. Back home, we have in East Texas, we have the Big Thicket. They say you get in there and you can't even get out. There have been people lost in there and they never found them. I guess the snakes and the gators and all kind of stuff got them. But I was told when climate change first came out and global warming, they said, there will be no more big thicket. It's going to decline. Hey, it's bigger now than it ever was. Don't go in there, folks. that's where you get lost. You see, the scientists are idiots. No, let me make a new term. They're big, fat idiots. Now, I say that I don't care if they're skinny in size. That's just a term of derision. I'm a mean guy. I admit it. I know. I shouldn't call these people big fat idiots. But their brain is fat. It's full of, I don't know what it's full of. Buffalo stew or something. Who knows? And now we have a president of the United States, Donald Trump. Donald J. Trump. He's doing a good job. I'm going to tell you right now, I like the guy. Now, somebody talked to me recently, said, do you know he's not a Christian? Well, I don't know whether he is or not. He's never really gave his testimony that he is. Well, we can't have a president like that. Let's see now. We can't have a president like that. Let's see now. We had Barack Obama, and we had Bill Clinton, and we had George W. Bush. And we had, and they go on and on and on. And we had Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry Truman and, Gerald Ford and none of them were Christians. Well, I guess we're just going to shut the doors to America. I mean, I'm going to go off to La La Land somewhere. Folks, in Jesus' day, they did not have Christian kings. They did not have Christian Caesars. I'm sorry, but that's true. The Christian church survived in spite of it. In fact, they hit it a lot harder than we have, folks. Think of all those Christians that were hatefully persecuted and tortured and for their faith. But they persevered. They went on. And they didn't retaliate, the true Christians. They didn't say, I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to get whatever. Of course, they couldn't have said a gun, but they could have said, we're going to wait in the back alleys and get these Roman soldiers and knife them. We're going to cut their throats. No, they didn't say they prayed for their enemies. They forgave their enemies. What kind of people were these early Christians? I was reading about a man of the black riots of the 70s or 80s, about once every decade in Los Angeles. But you remember the big riots they had there where one man was pulled out of his truck. He drove a truck in a black area, and the blacks gathered around his truck, and they pulled him out of the truck, and they beat him half to death. And then one of them took a big brick and just slammed it into his head. He was disfigured for life. And at their trial, you could have expected him to say, I hate these people, what they did to me. Stick it to them. But he didn't. He looked from the witness stand. He looked them in the eye and he said, I forgive them. I forgive them. And you know, they didn't care. They were still evil, wicked people. But what's that to him? What is it to him if they remain wicked? He was a Christian. Oh, yes. I read about a road rage incident here in Austin, Texas. Just yesterday, two cars got into it, going down the street, battling each other down the highway here in Austin, Texas. And finally, they ran off the road, and one pulled out a gun and shot the other one, and police were out, and the man was dead. And they said, this is an example of road rage. Now, folks, I don't know one Christian who's ever been guilty of road rage. Now, maybe you are. Maybe you say, well, you don't know me, Tex, or you don't know my neighbor. No, I don't. But I know I don't have road rage. Even when people pull in front of me, even when they get a place in line that should have been mine, that makes me have to wait a few more minutes for the green light or the red light or whatever, I just say, well, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I'm not going to hate those people. But I tell you, there's a lot of folks out there that hate you and I. And they'll hate you because you are a Christian, because you are a, Jesus said, meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. He didn't mean weaklings. He meant strong people, strong in their minds and their hearts, and determined not to act like a big fat idiot. May I just say that? Oh, I shouldn't say. I know some of you are going to. I'm pretty big myself, so I can say that, right? I'm pretty big when I look in the mirror, so I can say that. It's okay. Now, I want to talk about Donald Trump today and his enemies. And what can we do about it? He's got enemies. Oh, my goodness. You know, I've always thought that I had enemies here in this ministry, and I seem to have had them. I mean, the IRS audited me for 4 years back in the 90s. They didn't find anything, you know, much, but they audited me. Caused me a lot of pain and headache and a lot of money and all that, you know, just effort. They wanted to find something bad because it had been ordered by the White House, evidently. The audit, that is. They wanted to shut me down, but they couldn't. We just kept on moving, kept on going, kept on thanking God. And then the FBI started, you know, come out and pay me a visit, and we want to see what you're doing. And, You know, that was the time of the militias, I guess. Are you a member of a militia, Mr. Morris? Well, no. you know anything about them? Well, I trust them more than I do the government. I said, that's about all I know. Oh. One time, I had these two FBI agents come out to visit me, and they said, we would just like to talk to you. We're concerned that in the year 2000, the millennium, there are going to be terrorist groups, white men who do terrible things. Do you know of anybody that would plot or have a conspiracy to destroy property or, you know, plant bombs or something? I said, yes, I do. Boy, they got really interested. Well, who would that be? I said, well, President Bill Clinton. He'd do things and he'd blame it on the militias and so forth. You can't trust the government. Look what they've done. Look what they did at Waco. Look what they did at Ruby Ridge. Of course, you know, 9/11 hadn't occurred, but look what they did there. He was sort of disappointed that I didn't know any terrorist or anything. Folks, we're just Christians here. And I gave him a cup of coffee. We sat and we chatted and, you know, they left and they, you know, the guy, they turned out to be pretty nice guys. You know, they're just doing their job. The FBI, most of them are pretty good guys. They're just doing their job. They were told, go around and see this guy, Tex Morris. So they came and they found out I didn't have, you know, 6 or 7 tanks and artillery pieces in my backyard. And I did have a few signs on the wall said things like, you know, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. When you come in our front door here at the ministry, it's right there. You just look at it and there it is. I got some pictures. I got a beautiful picture of a lamb and a child. My wife has a picture of a King James Bible. And boy, it's a great painting somebody did for us, sent us. Now here in my office, I have my college certificates that I graduated from this university, that university. I have, the President of the United States, you know, made me an officer in the U.S. Air Force. And I have my master's degree from North Carolina State. And well, I even got all the way back to my high school, diploma. And then over on the other side, I have a picture of a cat. That's right. That's my cat. We have a cat here in the ministry now. His name is Ziggy. And Ziggy is really a nice cat. He's a beautiful cat. And the lady that worked for us here, she was a sweet gal. And one day she presented me with this painting. It's a cat. And he's on a bookshelf. And my books are all around him. You know, books that I've written and authored. And he's just sleeping there. And he's just a cat sleeping with my books all around him. It's sort of a funny picture. I like that picture. We're not going to do any harm to anybody here, folks. That's not what we do. We bring the truth. And Donald Trump is bringing the truth to a great extent to people. But look at his enemies, the media. Boy, isn't that an enemy? The establishment, the rhinos. That's Republicans in name only. I don't think I'd want to be called Republican anymore. No. And the Democrats, they're his enemy. Man, we are the resistance. Yeah, you're a bunch of bums. And the neocons. Those are the ones that say, bomb, 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 bomb. And they want to bomb the whole world. You know, that's people like Bill Kristol and Krauthammer and these people. I've never seen a war that they didn't like. What about Iran? Yeah, let's bomb it. What about Iraq? Let's bomb it. How about Syria? Yeah, let's go in there and bomb. How about Libya? Oh, yes, bomb it, bomb it. How about North Korea? Oh, yeah, get it. Bomb it, bomb it. That's their answer for everything. Bomb, 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 bomb. Now, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, they're two of those neocons. And they want to bomb, 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 bomb. They're crazy. They're insane. Of course, they're old people. They don't have to go out and into the military. And I think Lindsey Graham, being a queer or a homosexual, he couldn't anyway. And John McCain, well, he was POW, but there's bad stories about that. That's the neocons. And they're encouraging our president to go and bomb everything. He said, I'd like to get America out of the nation building business because it's a bunch of malarkey. There is no nation building. We weren't building nations. We didn't build a nation. We didn't build a government in Afghanistan. When we leave, the day we leave, the Taliban will take over, folks.
You mean the same ones that were there before we got there?
That's right. 17 years we've been there. Several thousand young men and women have died there. But the neocons want to, they say send 100,000 troops in there. Thank God we've got a president that wants to get out. Thank God we got a president. You know, we had Russia go into Syria, and they've defeated ISIS in Syria. Who was ISIS? Well, that was the Israeli forces, the ones they were sponsoring. They wanted to see destruction spread throughout the Middle East. Israel did. And they and the United States were financing ISIS. And Russia did them in. Russia went in, helped Assad in Syria, and now there's no more ISIS. And guess what? I understand that around the world, the Syrian refugees are returning. Isn't that amazing, folks? They're beginning to return home. Now they can return. About one third of all the Syrians were displaced. Their homes were destroyed. Many of their family were killed. Now they can return home because Russia has destroyed ISIS. Have we thanked Russia for this? No. We don't have a war in Syria. In fact, Trump says, I'm going to pull out. They said, oh, no, bring all your troops, put them in there. No, he says, I'm going to pull out. He made a pact with Russia. So now ISIS has been defeated in Syria. The neocons are not happy about this. They love war. They're warmongers. It's amazing, folks. We should have thanked Putin. We should have thanked him from the bottom of our hearts. The Russians have no doubt lost a number of soldiers and airmen and such in Syria fighting against ISIS, which we've helped to fund and kept a secret, of course. Then there are all of these groups out there. You know, you watch these guys on TV, General so-and-so and General so, all retired generals or admirals.
I'm now with the Cato Institute. I'm now with the Institute for Foreign Affairs.
Why do they have all those names? What are all those groups? Who pays money to those groups? Oh, Israel. Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia. Yeah. People that want wars, they pay all these generals to set up all these institutes and all these groups. Bunch of baloney. And then they're the globalists. Man, they're everywhere, aren't they? I never thought there were so many globalists in my life. It's crept up on us. From the time I was a little boy, how about you folks? I'm in my 70s now and I can see it plain. I mean, you know, back many years ago when I got my bachelor's degree, I remember they would have all these seminars on campus and everything talking about the wonderful value of the United Nations and how wonderful it was and such. Well, I never thought it was worth a hoot, but, you know, I had to go to attend all these seminars because I was getting a degree in political science. I remember we had a big bash of some kind, I guess you'd call it a dinner. And I was given the award of the outstanding political science student for that year, for the whole university. I was given this award. And I'm not sure the professors really liked it, you know. I mean, but they gave me, because I made all the good, best grades, I suppose. But all the other students seem to be, many of them seem to be liberals.
The whole university seemed to be sort of liberal. Well, now, of course, boy, they're progressive, they're liberals, and they're nuts. They don't believe in free speech anymore. They oppose free speech on campuses across America. Naturally, they would oppose anything that you and I say. And Trump, well, no. Trump is a white supremacist. That's what they say. And everybody in his administration is a white supremacist. They're all Hitlers. They're all a bunch of neo-Nazi. They're all a bunch of KKK. Do you believe that, folks? That President Trump and all of his administration are all a bunch of white supremacists, neo-Nazi, KKK. Well, let's just look at him. How about Ben Carson? He's Secretary of Housing. He's in the Trump administration. Is Ben Carson? Is he a white supremacist? Well, no, he's a black man.
Well, he's a Hitler.
Is he? I've never seen him giving the Sieg Heil salute. Seems to be a nice gentleman to me. He's a brain surgeon. He's a smart man.
Oh, no, he's a white supremacist. He's a neo-Nazi. He's a KKK.
Well, I've never seen him wear that coned cap, that hat. The funny one looks like a combination of something, the shelf of the Hilton Hotel, and I don't know what would wear.
No, he's a white supremacist. They all are in the Trump administration.
Well, how about those generals? General Kelly and General McMaster. Are they white supremacists?
Yes, they are. They're neo-Nazis. They're KKK.
You know, folks, I've always understood who the KKK are. They're usually government agents. They always tell me that if you go down and you join one of these groups, Aryan Nations or the KKK or one of these right-wing groups, you discover that there's probably only about 10 or 15 people joining. They go to these meetings. And of them, probably 7 or 8 are government agents. And they're always seeking to get the group to go out and bomb somebody or shoot somebody or do something dirty or filthy. Or get those torches and go out at night. Or maybe wear their hoods, their white hoods and all that. Because they got to get everybody to wearing, to fearing, to being scared of the KKK that don't even exist. Folks, that was back in before the 1920s. That was in the 1880s and 1890s and 19, that was in another generation. There are no KKK. Now, they'll have one every once in a while. They'll pay him from the FBI. They'll pay him secretly. And he might go on some talk show. Oh, I'm KKK. No, he's not. It's all a big show. You know it. I know it. They know it. But they're getting their jollies from it, and they're scaring everybody, and they're making everybody believe that President Trump, the media, are making everybody believe that President Trump is a right-wing alt, right-wing alt. You gotta be alt, A-L-T. Whatever that means. Alternative. He's a neo-Nazi. He's a KKK. Let me tell you something, folks. You couldn't be a billionaire builder in New York City and rise to the top and be a KKK guy. Because New York City is full of rich builder Jews. Builders who are Jews. And they'd smell you out in a minute. But you see, Antifa and all these groups and all these Democrats, they're making all this stuff up about Trump. And they think that we'll all believe it. We'll all swallow it. Well, they're wrong. I had swallowed a bit of it. Have you? Now, when we return in a little bit, we're going to look at some of these people that hate Trump, that are after him. I just put them all together as one big group. I call them the globalists. It's America first, which is Trump, versus the globalist. And I'm an American first guy. I don't put down any nation, but I say that my nation is best. That's the way things are, folks. Well, this is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again here. You know, I want to encourage you to give to our employee appreciation fund. Well, you know, once a year, we have this drive. And what we do is we invite you to give to our employees. Now, I want to assure you that Wanda and I don't accept a penny of this money, but it goes direct to our employees. You know, everyone here has worked for a long time at Power Prophecy. In fact, 25 years, 24, 15 years. They've sacrificed. They've been here. You know, we don't have benefits. We don't have medical plans and retirement plans and all that. But one thing we do have is Christians. We have Christian believers out in the world. And you, my friends, are our friends. And you care about this ministry. I know you do because we have this employee appreciation drive every year and you have given to it. You've been so kind. And it's allowed us to give to the employees. You know, everything that comes in, it goes to the employees. We divide it amongst them and it helps to supplement their rather small salaries. Now we give them everything we can. And I want to assure you that I don't receive any royalties on my books, and I write a lot of books. I'm constantly writing and researching. And I just donate those to the ministry. I just, you know, and people say, well, goodness, how do you live? Well, you know, I've got my Air Force retirement, and, you know, I don't go a lot of places. I don't go to Las Vegas, that's for sure, you know. I drove through Las Vegas one time about 45 years ago, and I don't go to any place like that. I don't go to any of these islands. I don't go on fancy vacations. You know, I guess I'm just a homebody, so I don't spend a lot of money, folks. And Juan and I, we love to stay around at home and visit with our friends and our family. So that's who we are, and we enjoy that. So, you know, we don't go do a lot of shopping and buy a lot of fancy clothes and things like that. And, I would tell you the way I dress. I think I dress rather nice. I wear a different t-shirt every day. And people laugh at me because they say, boy, that's an expensive t-shirt. That's right. I bought it for about $5 or $6 at Walmart. You know? And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with my t-shirt. Look, folks. I'm just trying to tell you that we need your help. We have an employee appreciation drive, and you can give a donation, a love gift, and it'll be counted as a tithe or an offering to the ministry. And we will make sure the employees get it. It's theirs. But you have to, when you send us a check or a money order, or you send cash to us, if it's for the employees, please designate it. In other words, put a little note on it or a letter. And say, Tex, this is for the employees. Or if you're using one of our order forms, put down there so much for the employees. Make sure that it says employees or the employees appreciation. That's the official name. But if it just says employees, our staff will know what it is. And we'll keep that separate. We'll keep all that fun together. And then there comes a time when we take it out and we just divide it out among the employees. And I tell you, the employees really appreciate you for this. They really do. And, you know, we started this some years ago, and I knew that you would come through. I did. I knew you would come through. And you have. You've been so good. And we appreciate it. Okay, so please give to the Employees Fund. By the way, we have another project today. We have the book Feast of the Beast. Feast of the Beast. It's all about what the Jews and Judaism teach about prophecy, the end of the world. I must say it's not true. It's not true. You see, I know the way the Bible is going to end. I know the way the Bible says that prophecy events are going to occur. Our Lord said it. The book of Daniel, the minor prophets. The book of Revelation, what a great book of prophecy that is. In fact, the book of Revelation in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 warns about the synagogue of Satan. But the Jews have a different philosophy. Their rabbis say they're going to win the world. You see, they don't worry about a heaven. They believe they'll be reconstituted and they will live eternally here on earth. This will be their heaven. And the Gentiles will be their slaves forever. Oh, that's a warped view, isn't it? They can have this earth. I'll have heaven. How about you, folks? But it's all in the book, Feast of the Beast. And it's only $15. $15. Now, to make a donation or send a love gift to the Employee Appreciation Fund, simply write to us here at Power of Prophecy. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, you can also use your charge card and just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, and say, hey, I'd like to make a donation to your Employees Appreciation Fund. We'd love for you to do that. And you can also buy this book, Feast of the Beast, for $15. Please add $5 shipping and handling. By the way, I'm writing a new book now called Hell's Mirror. Ooh, Hell's Mirror. Did you know that some people look at this planet and they see a different place than you and I do? You know, when a Christian looks at the world, he has a different view. He has a different viewpoint. And that's why the president of the United States is having such trouble today, because there are very few Christians in the world, and they see the world as a very wicked place. They see Christians as wicked people. Goodness gracious. They look through hell's mirror every day, and they act on it. But I look to heaven, and I know you do too, friends. And that makes all the difference in the world. When you get up in the morning, you have a heavenly view. Have a heavenly attitude. When I get up in the morning, I just thank Jesus. Thank God. What a lovely day. Well, it's raining. Well, it's still lovely. Well, it's snowing. Well, it's all right. We need a good snow. Because God is alive and he's on the throne. Okay. Oh, my. By the way, you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. You can make a contribution right there. Jerry, can they make a contribution to the Employees Fund? Oh, okay, great. You can make, now, by the way, when you give a love gift to the ministry or you buy this book, you know, it's great. But when you give it to the Employees Fund, make sure it's designated. So we will know, okay? It's designated for the employees. All right, let's return to our regular program. And we're looking at Donald Trump and his globalist enemies. See, Donald Trump is an American first guy. That's what he said. America first. He's an economic nationalist. What does that mean? Well, he says the other nations are okay. We want to help everybody, but we want to do things special for our own citizens. We love our own citizens. That's what he says. He uses the word love. I like that. I like that. But it seems that all of these liberal progressives, they just hate America. They do. They despise America. And I remember seeing, I think it's Charles Krauthammer on Fox News. He was on Fox News and he was saying, well, I think Donald Trump is he's a Hitler kind of guy. He's a, you know, sort of a neo-Nazi. And the host said, why do you believe that, Mr. Krauthammer? What has Donald Trump done to make you think he's a Hitler type? Well, didn't you hear him at his rallies? He used the term America first. That means you're a Hitler. What? Get that, folks. Many Jews believe that. Krauthammer, of course, is Jewish. He says if you use the term America first, you've got to be a neo-Nazi. You've got to be goodness. Are these people out of their minds? I mean, if you're an American, you're America first. That doesn't mean that you put down other nations. You may love other peoples. You may love other nations. You may want to do everything you can economically, culturally, politically, and certainly spiritually to help Germany, to help England, to help Mexico and Canada. But
you're American and you say America first and you mean it. And that's President Trump. What is the matter with that? These people are insane.
They are.
And we're going to have to deal with them. And it seems like there's as many of them as there are of us. Now, President Trump won election, and he says there's at least 4 million people who are not even citizens who voted.
And you know what? There are.
Did you know that the town of College Park, Maryland, they've got a huge university, the University of Maryland's there. College Park, Maryland. The city council just voted. They voted to allow non-citizens to vote in elections. So if you're from Mexico or Guatemala or Venezuela or maybe Turkey, you can vote in American elections. Wow. Isn't that nice? Now, if you go to Turkey or you go to Guatemala and you try to vote in their elections as an American, you're going to be put in prison. But if you're one of these people from these other countries and you go to College Park, Maryland, you can vote in their elections. You see how crazy these people are? Why, they say that in California now the legislature changed things. You can practice law as an illegal immigrant. You're not even supposed to be in the United States, but they're saying, well, you can practice law here. Well, that's crazy. You can vote, and they have voted. Nobody asks any questions about voting. They don't even ask for ID in many states across the U.S. You go down and say, I want to vote, and the people at the polling place say, okay, you know, here's a ballot. Vote. They don't ask you where you're from, what you are. Are you an American citizen? Do you live in this city? They don't even ask. And if you do ask somebody where they come from, well, they're going to take you to court. And the Obama judge says, you can't ask that. You can't ask somebody where they come from. You've got to allow them to vote. What do you mean, judge? They're some kind, they're idiots. They're big, fat idiots, are they not? You know, voting is a privilege. I once read that if you get sent to prison, you lose your opportunity to vote. In most states, that was true. You rape a little girl, you're not going to vote again. You're going to be in prison. Don't worry about voting. Worry about when you're going to get out. If you rob a store, well, you're going to prison and you're not going to be voting. That was the rule. Now, Governor McAuliffe of Virginia, right before the election last time, they saw that Trump was really gaining on Hillary Clinton. And he suddenly said, everybody in the state of Virginia, if you're in prison, you can vote. Well, there was a law in Virginia that said you can't vote if you're a convict. Well, he didn't care about the law. They don't care about the law. If you're a progressive, if you're a liberal, they don't care. If you're a non-citizen, you can vote. If you're a non-citizen, if you're an illegal immigrant, you can drive a car. You can get a driver's license. You can even run for mayor. You can run for U.S. senator in some places and be elected. You can be elected to the United States Senate and be somebody who's a citizen of Brazil or Argentina. We're so pleased to have you as our U.S. senator. Mr. Juarez from Argentina. Isn't that insane? Of course it's insane. And they do it just to spite people like you and me. You know, the Speaker of the House, that's a pretty high-level politician from California, gave a speech recently. I forget his name now, but it's something like, you know, Gonzalez or Juarez or, you know, Gomez. He said, Mr. Trump, he wants to deport Mexicans. Well, that means he would have to deport half of my family. He would have to deport my mother, my father, my grandfather, my aunt, my uncle, my brother, my sister, my nephew, my niece. He would have to deport by about 25 members of my family. Boy, he just revealed who he was, didn't he? And then he said, and he would have to deport me because I'm an illegal immigrant. Speaker of the House of California. He was an illegal immigrant. He would have to deport me. Now, they've been telling us for many years now, we've got 11 or 12 million illegal immigrants in America. Ann Coulter recently wrote a book called Adios America. That's the title of her book.
She says there are at least 40 million illegal immigrants in America. They tell us there's 11 or 12 million, but there's 40 million. And I think you're too conservative. There's probably 60 or 70 million. And I suspect that about a quarter of them voted in the last election. If they hadn't have voted, then Trump would have won even more easily, much easier. But these states that are run by the Democrats, they tell the illegal immigrants, come on down and vote. Nobody's going to put you in prison. We're going to celebrate. I'm surprised they don't give them a bouquet of flowers and a and a box of chocolates for voting. Well, these are enemies of America. They're enemies of Donald Trump. And he's done nothing to deserve their anger, their evil, their wickedness, except try to be American. Try to support this country. Now, there are also the Antifa people. They're anti-fascist, they call themselves. They say that fascists have no right to speak. Fascists have no right to speak. Who are fascists? Well, everybody that's not them. Everybody who's not them. They're right now, they say we're going to have a big demonstration against a man named Ben Shapiro, who's a talk show host. He's a very mild guy. I mean, he's really so mild. His voice is so tiny. I heard him one time on the radio and I said, well, he's not much to that, you know, not a powerful voice at all. But evidently he's a conservative, and Antifa says we cannot allow him to speak. Now here's where they get into double thinking. They ask Antifa leaders, don't you believe in free speech? Yes, we do. But not for fascists. Huh? Let me ask you again, the host said. Do you believe in free speech? Yes, we believe in free speech. But not if you're a fascist. Well, who are fascists? Well, all the Republicans and all the conservatives and all the Trump people and all the, pretty soon it was half of America were fascists. So if you're that half of America, you don't deserve to speak. They can't let you speak. You're a fascist. They're Antifa. They're anti-fascist. They're going to put on their black clothes, their black mask over their face, their black hats. They're going to get their spikes and their sticks and their clubs, and they're going to bash your head in. And they should, because you're a fascist. I'm a fascist. Jerry here is over at he's my radio man today. Jerry, you're a fascist. Everybody in this ministry is a fascist. My wife Wanda is a fascist. Everybody listening to this radio program is a fascist. Antifa is not going to let you speak, folks. I'm surprised they didn't come burn down this building. I shouldn't speak too loud. They probably will. Antifa. They hate Trump. Now, many of these people they don't have to be paid. They're family. I understand the students who go to Berkeley, University of California at Berkeley, they have to pay $55,000 tuition a year. Now, most parents I know don't even make $55,000. But that's what you have to pay for tuition for your kid who goes to Berkeley. That's the kind of ritzy school it is. Now, about half the students there, they don't pay that. You see, if you're Mexican, especially if you're an illegal immigrant, or you're a black, you don't pay that. They let you in free. They give you grants. But if you're white, you have to pay it. Well, the white students who are part of Antifa, their parents pay it willingly.
I'm going to get my school a good education at that liberal institution, the one that teaches all about the fascist.
Yeah. $55,000. That's the tuition. That's just the tuition. That's not all the expenses of the student. All the food and the dormitory and all the books and so forth. And of course the rich Antifa protesters are joined by the poor who are paid by George Soros, the rich Hungarian Jew. He's over in Europe. He comes to the United States periodically to visit with the Obama types and the Schumer types and the Pelosi types. George Soros pays them $125 or whatever, you know. And then he gives them all the buses. They take these bus trips all over America. And you ask them why they're rioting, why they're demonstrating. They say, well, I hate the fascist. But they haven't yet figured out who the fascists are. That's the problem. Those are enemies of Trump, enemies of America. Now, the Antifa people were out at Charlottesville protesting about those statues that they know nothing about. Now, I've read quite a bit about the war between the North and the South. I don't favor slavery. I pray that I would not have favored slavery back then. But it's interesting that most of the people who fought for the South and died in the war, most of the people who wore the gray, who were Confederates, did not own slaves. What? You mean Black Lives Matters doesn't know that? They don't know that people died in the Civil War fighting for the South who were not slave owners? No. Yes. Yes. Very few people owned slaves. You had to be a rich person to own a slave. You had to be rich. They didn't own slaves. They were little farm boys. They were little town boys. They fought for what they thought was their country. You see, America was a different place back then. They didn't have all this travel back and forth. Many of those young men had never been out of their hometown. They were from Tennessee, from Texas, from Louisiana, from Georgia, from all those places in Florida. They'd never been out of their hometown before. And they had never, some of them had never even seen a slave. And they joined because they believed that their country should be independent. The Confederacy. They didn't say, let's keep our slave rights. That's all TV material. That's movie material. Now there were some, the big men, the rich men, and all the slave owners. Yeah, they are the ones that own the big plantations. How many people you think own plantations down south? Come on, folks. Why don't you come here and visit the South today? I mean, see how many plantations there are. See how many huge mansions. There are not very many. One and I certainly don't live in one, but we have a house that's right off the highway. You can hear all the traffic sound. Some people say, oh, does that ever bother you? Well, it doesn't really. I guess you get used to the traffic sounds. It costs a little less to live there, though. That's nice. Folks, in all of Austin, Texas, I don't know, but here's a city of 2 million. I don't know, but maybe 15 or 20 mansions in the whole place here. And they're in disrepair. There were not enough slave owners for it to make a difference. Abraham Lincoln said, we got to have a way to stop the Union from breaking up and the South from being on its own. So why don't we latch onto this slavery thing and we'll pump it for all it's worth and make everybody think about that. Well, okay, they did. Did you know that Robert E. Lee was the head of the South? That he was asked to be the head of the Northern military? Before the war began, when the war began, they said, would you come and be our leader? And Robert E. Lee said, I've got too many slaves. I can't be the leader for the North. No, I just lied. I just lied to you. He didn't own any slaves. Robert E. Lee had no slaves. Whoa, wait, he was a general in charge? That's the statue they're trying to take down in Charlottesville? That's the one they hate, that statue? You mean Robert E. Lee, the one they name all these schools for down south? You mean to tell me he never owned any, he didn't own the slaves? That is right. You see, folks, these people are liars. These people make up facts. They make up stories. And Black Lives Matter doesn't matter much because they don't know anything. They don't do any research. They don't understand that most of the people who fought and died for the South own no slaves. They never thought they would own slaves. They never worried about slaves. They were, many of them had farms and they worked from morning till dark on their farm without slaves to help them. If they'd been smart, they'd done away with the slaves. Then the North wouldn't have had any, you know, they were getting very close to that anyway. They should have done that. Let the slaves go free. And then tell the North, see there, we don't care about the slaves. But anyway, that's... Now, who else is against Trump? Well, the Senate, the House, the Senate will not let him appoint his own people to different positions in the State Department, in the CIA and intelligence. So these Obama leftovers are still there. And they're stopping every good thing he wants to do. The deep state exists All these State Department employees and the CIA and the FBI, they're all a bunch of bums in the Department of Justice. They're Obama people. They're Bush people. And they hate America first, and they are stopping Trump. The Pope is an enemy. The Pope just last week said anyone who does not believe in climate change is an idiot. That's what he said. Now, folks, when I call people idiots, I joke about it. But he was serious. If you don't buy into the silliness of global warming or climate change, he says you're a big fat idiot. Well, I think he's a big fat idiot. What, Tex, you said that about the Pope? Yes, he believes in, and he doesn't believe in, he's not a Catholic, by the way. He's not even a Catholic. He says it doesn't matter if you worship, you know, one of the Hindu gods or goddesses or Buddha or whoever. And it doesn't matter if you're homosexual either. Who am I to judge? The Pope says. You know what? I think he's right. Who is he to judge? He's an idiot. A fat, big idiot. And he wears dresses besides. So there. The anti-Christians are everywhere. They're in the churches. All of these pastors, they're all complaining. They want to keep immigration going because they get paid for it. The Catholic Church, 98% of their money for helping resettle immigrants comes from the federal government. 98% of their money. Man. And they hate America. And the environmentalists, of course, hate America. They can't believe that Trump won't buy into it. Well, if you deny the climate change, why, you need to be put in prison. Oh, yeah, they're Antifa people. Watch out for those folks. And, of course, the liberals and the progressives have their celebrities. Ooh, every other word is an F-U. Goodness, they're loud mouths. They're evil mouths. They say such horrible things. And then they expect me to watch them on television or news or see their movies. I will not. And as far as ESPN, those thugs, they're all against Trump. And they're against me and you as Americans. Because they're all globalist. Now, what are we to do about this? I think we should support our president. He's not going to be perfect. He's not going to give us everything we want. But he's going to give us a lot more than Hillary Rodham Clinton. Think about that. The next time somebody says, I don't like Trump, you might say, well, I wouldn't have liked Hillary Clinton. I'll tell you that. That's what I tell them. Well, I don't like Trump. Well, I don't like abortionists either. That's what Hillary was. I don't like globalists either. That's what she was. I don't like open border people. That's what she was. I don't like these filthy, dirty, rotten movie stars and these ESPN football players and so forth. I don't like them. I don't care for them. You know why? Because I'm America first. I don't like the neocons. I don't like the rhinos. I don't like the establishment Republicans and Democrats. I want a president who is for America. For America. Who cares about this nation? Who cares when we have hurricanes? Who doesn't want to send our young men and women to die in wars overseas? I want somebody who loves this country, who loves us as Americans, who cares for everybody around the world, no problem at all, but builds a wall. I want him to build a wall. Oh, we'll still have a door. We can open it whenever we want to. We can invite people in, but we're going to invite them in because it's our country. That's the way the world works. This is our country. And we're going to keep it that way. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today. We've been talking about Donald Trump and his enemies. He's got a lot of them. But he's got a lot of friends too, doesn't he? He's got a lot of friends. I'm one. How about you? Well, until next week, my friends, tune in and discover the power of prophecy.